today on Real Radio.
And he says some very powerful things. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And you might say, well, you know what? I've seen people love one another, and they don't know God, and they do love one another. That may be true, but only on a certain plane of love.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called What Christians Believe. Now, we're in the final lesson of this series, and it's called What Christians Believe About Love. We hear that word a lot, don't we? Jesus loves you, God is love, I love you, let's all love one another. Yet in the English language, love is not always a very accurate term. We find it all over the place in English translations of the Bible, but in the original languages of Scripture, the different words for love are far more accurate and categorical, if you will. And there are reasons for this, and pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs takes a look at those reasons in a lesson called What Christians Believe About Love.
In 1 John chapter 4, look down with me at verse 7. And as you're turning there, 1 John 4:7, this is a tremendous book, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that John wrote to believers. It's not written to non-believers. It's exclusively written to believers and how the church ought to conduct itself. And in 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 7, he says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Great little song we used to sing. And if I had a voice, I'd sing it. But I don't, so you can think about it. But he says, Beloved, John is speaking to the church in his day, and he's saying, hey, lovers of one another, beloved. He's saying, I love you, you love me. They're a family. And he says some very powerful things. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And you might say, well, you know what? I've seen people love one another, and they don't know God, and they do love one another. That may be true, but only on a certain plane of love. And I don't mean to say this to upset anybody, but even the most passionate, devotional love that someone can have for another in a parental manner, maybe the best of friends, could be husband and wife, and that friendship relationship where it is tight, it is strong, it is beautiful, it is a glorious thing. No matter what, though, the world can offer by way of love, it wanes in comparison to the love that God, listen, God gives, that God imparts in the heart of one believer to another. And that is the greatest magnitude of love, this agape love of God. God puts it into a heart of a believer. You can't muster it up. You can't trump it up. It's put there by God. And it transcends any love of this world. Now, the Greeks had various words for love, and they fell into categories. If they were friends, phileo love, they would have the Philadelphian or brotherly love one for another. That's a great level of love. There is eros, where there's an erotic type of love. And they had various lists of definitions of love. In English, we have love. I love, you know, Krispy Kreme. I love my wife. You insert it. You know, those Costco Hebrew hot dogs over there. I love those things. Love them. That's the word we use. Well, in the world that Jesus grew up in and in the Greek language, you wouldn't say, oh, you know, I have agape love for these hot dogs. You'd be probably carted away as a lunatic because, yeah, I've got this highest supreme love that God would give into my heart for another. I have it toward this thing or toward this car or toward this whatever, and it just wouldn't fit. There is a love that God gives into the life of a believer that is uniquely given by God and experienced only among Christians. The challenge is, listen, the challenge is that we must exercise this love. When we begin to say to one another as a church regarding what Christians believe, the most paramount thing of all, and we've had a lot of fun talking about the Bible and about the second coming of Christ and about the rapture and about all of these various things, the most important thing of all is our love. What do Christians believe? That number one above all things is that God is love, that He loves us. And I want to just argue with you tonight that you and I do not understand that truth enough, that God loves us. What is wrong with us about this topic? God loves you. Pastor, if you say it one more time, I'm just going to get sick because that's all I hear. I already know all that. Do you? Do we really? I don't think so. That when God says, I love you, we have no understanding of the depth of commitment. That's a true word, you know. Commitment that God has toward you. Let me put it to you this way. Maybe it will provoke you. God's level of commitment to me is beyond the stars. God's level of commitment in His love to me is beyond anything. He loves me so much that He can't take His eyes off me. The Bible says that He is jealous for my love back to Him. That wherever I go, God is with me. So much does He love me that if I would attempt to flee from Him, He's there, says Psalm 139. Whether shall I flee from Thy presence, or where shall I go from Thy Spirit? But behold, Thou art there. The psalmist even says, if I try to make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. That psalmist, David, knew what he was talking about because he knew about the love of God. You and I fail to appreciate that because we begin to equate God's love somehow in some sort of a measured or metered deposit toward us based upon our goodness or our faithfulness or our status or whatever spiritually, and that's not true. God likes you. Now, someone didn't like a long time ago, I brought that up. They didn't like that I said that. I said, God likes you. And they said, well, you know, that kind of degrades God, in my opinion. I said, well, I'm sorry that you took it that way. This is what it means. God loves us. We often think, well, He has to. He's God. He's got to love us. You know, it's like having a brother or sister. Love your brother. He says, well, I have to. He's my brother, my sister. That's one thing. It's a whole nother thing to want to hang out with your brother and sister. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all like them. God likes you. Yeah, but you don't know what kind of things I've done. He knows and He still likes you. He loves you so much, He likes you. He doesn't have to be with you. He has chosen to be with you. And there's no place that you can go in life's experience to get away from that love of His that He has committed toward you. And you need to understand that. You need to be reminded of that. I think if a man understood that more and more, he wouldn't be so harsh of a man. You know what I mean? Man? Sir? Mister? If you really knew how much God liked you and loved you, maybe you'd back off on your kids or calm down and not be so hard on your wife, or maybe be nicer to your employees or nicer to your boss or whatever, you know? Can you? Especially as a man, I don't know what it is, but it seems to me, and maybe I have this bias because I are one. I mean, I am one. But men seem to have a hard time cuddling up to God. It just, it's just not us, you know. We understand that God refers to himself in the male gender. He speaks of himself as being a he. That's a fact, and you can't change that. I mean, some publisher of the Bible might try to change that. God doesn't change that. He calls himself a he. And us guys, it's like, okay, yes, sir, no problem. Or I God. We understand that. But you don't cuddle up to somebody and say, I, and salute. It just doesn't fit. Now, you women, you're altogether different. God says, I am he, and you go, yes, Lord. And you can just kind of cuddle up with him. When you have your time with the Lord, you got your Bible open, you got a little vase with a flower, you got your tea or your coffee, you got the mood lighting on, you know, and us guys look at you and just go, man, we want to do that, but, you know, we're guys. And then we turn to David, and we think we find our identity with David, and David, you know, garrisons the men to war and challenges them, let's go. And they pray and seek God and they go out to battle. We're like, yeah. And we love those portions of the Bible. And it's like, all right, you know, and yes. And then what do you do? David does a complete 180 degree turn on us. And he's talking about, Lord, thou art lovely, and behold, as I look upon thee, my heart leapeth, and my soul doth longeth for thee. O thou, my defender of my soul, and my eyes are wet all the night long. And it's like, who is this guy? Where'd he go? David, you know what? The truth is, David was a man of God. David was a man who knew God's heart. And he was a great warrior for the faith. He was a great defender of the faith. He was a great lover of God. And listen, David was a great lover of people. The scriptures tell us in 1 Samuel that all those, remember, who were poor, destituted, outcast, and in bankruptcy, and bitter, were gathered to David, and he became their captain, and they became David's mighty men of valor. Why? Because David loved them. Love is not weak. When the Bible says for us to love one another, I tell you, no one can love one another without paying some sort of a price. And usually, it is a good price to pay. It's usually pride, because pride needs to die anyway. When we begin to love one another, we begin to say and to preach and to live and to act out that someone's more important in our eyes than we are ourselves. We begin to exalt one another more highly than ourselves. When he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, he's saying the source that comes, what Christians believe is this, is that true love comes from the source of God. He is the fountain where it flows from. And it is impossible for you and I to love our enemies without God's love. It's impossible for us to truly, even in this setting, to love one another to the fullness that God has intended without him touching our hearts. And look, all of you are sitting here shoulder to shoulder together. You have no warring going on. Look, no one's sitting here in armor right now, you know? And even still, look at us. God calls us to love each other. And it's in this gathering, you know, we all have different personalities. Isn't that amazing? Think of that. Every one of us different in here. You say something, you know, say something to 10 people, you get 11 different responses. How will we ever make it as a body? How will we ever make it as a family? How will we ever make it as a church? What do Christians believe? That God is love. And because our God is love, we say, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to live your love out in our lives. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God. Wow. Now here, we come to this, and it's like, Lord, this is serious scripture. Lord, I need to love more. Father, and I'll pray. I'm sure you'll pray as well. Lord, cause me to love more. Sometimes we can be so hypocritical in our prayers. You know, like Susie's driving us up the wall, and she's that believer that's in our lives that must be sent from God or from Satan. We can't figure out who they've come from. they're our irregular person. Lord, why don't you just take them away? And you can hear a distant voice saying, I've brought them into your life that you might cry out to me, that you might love them with my love. Lord, take them away. You know, no. And so we pray prayers like this. Lord, you know that I don't love Susie as much as I ought to. And the Lord says, no, just stop right there. The truth is, you don't like her at all. The truth is, you're masking over your true feelings within your heart. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to pull out a chainsaw right now. I'm going to cut that part out of your heart. I'm going to clean that part up. Because until you come to me and you say, Lord, the truth is, I don't like that person whatsoever. And I need your help. Because when I hear their name, or when I see them walk down the street, my jaw sets. And I know, God, this is not from you. It is wrong of me, Lord. I repent of it. I just don't have the power to change it. Lord, I ask you the love that you love me with. Will you give me that love for them? Because I don't have it. And I'm not going to veil my hypocritical prayer anymore. Lord, help me to love my enemy. What do Christians believe? Isn't it interesting that the non-believers in the world, they may have a lot of words for us and about us, and some of them accurate. But isn't it interesting that what the Roman government accused the first century church of is still true in most parts of the world today, is that, you know what, we don't like Christians. We don't like them. But you know what? They sure do love. What a great indictment. There used to be a song that Brian Duncan used to sing. And that song, the words of that song was, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would you have or would they have enough evidence to convict you? What a great word. Love. And this is something that we can't take lightly. We can say, well, you know, yeah, okay, I need to love more. The truth is, Lord, you've got to live your love out in our lives. So in your mind, don't jump up and don't say anything, but in your mind's eye, is there someone or are there people in your mind that you would think or say something like this? It would just be fine with me if I never ever saw them again. Well, I'm so glad they live in New York and me in California, because the distance has nothing to do with it. Lord, you've got to work this love of yours in my heart. Now, pause right there. A stubborn person like me would say, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction. But somebody with good ears like you would hear the Lord say, now, listen. It has everything to do with you and me, not so much with you and them. Because if you get that situation, if we clean up that little room of your life, and we get it dusted and vacuumed and cleaned up, you'll be able to hear me a lot better, and we'll be able to communicate a lot better together, you and I, the Lord would say. Now, this doesn't mean, church, in all practicality, that you get on an airplane and fly to New York and throw your arms around that person that just drives you nuts. But it could translate into something like, hey, Fred, thought about you this week. Hope all is well with you. Jack. You know? Something. God might call you to do that. Well, I just can't do that. My friend, for your own growth, for your own walk with the Lord, do that thing. Yeah, but then I'll look weak. Then you go into the man mode. And that's not a good place to be. When we begin to build up a wall and say, you know what? Yes to all these things and no to that person right there and or that group of people or that thing. Watch out. The Lord wants to get control in that area of our lives. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Tremendous. So what do Christians believe? We believe that in our relationship, love should be paramount. That when we meet one another, did you turn and greet one another a little earlier? Honestly, did you just turn and greet the same people you greet every Wednesday night? Did you meet something new? Should scramble things up a little bit. Be quite a thing if we turn and say, hi, what is your name? Nice to meet you. And as an agreement as a church among one another to choose, to decide, I'm going to love this person. Now, I know we can think that way, but what does it translate out to? What does it look like? And so for now, maybe this is where we can think real personal. What does it look like to love somebody? Can someone give me a word or a small definition? What does it look like for a Christian to love someone? Anyone? A smile, a greeting? Isn't that interesting? A smile or a greeting. So what? We have a ministry of greeters at the door. Prerequisite. Can you smile? Listen, with what Matt just said, people coming through these doors, especially on Sundays, so many people coming through the doors. You know, there's enough people here that if we just decided to smile at a stranger, listen, if we just decided next Sunday to smile at a stranger, it will freak them out. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying, what if we did it more? Did I share with you this, or am I going crazy? Probably, maybe both. But a week or so ago, someone was, we were eating fish tacos at the Rubio's. And it's packed, and honestly, most of the church was in the building except for about four people, I figured. I mean, everybody else in there was there from the church. And all of this, hey, how you doing? Good, how you doing? Oh, how you doing? Hey, all right. You know, and it's just like crazy. It's like we're all in each other's living room. It was fun. And the table right next to us, there were four women sitting there, and this one lady said, I'm still looking for a church. I just haven't found a church. And this one lady said, because I'm snooping in on this conversation, this one lady said, well, have you tried such and such a church? Yeah, you know, I didn't like it. Oh. Her other friend, did you go to this other church? No, I haven't been there yet. Maybe I'll try that one out. So I'm thinking, hey, I know a church. But she said, one of her friends asked her, well, have you tried that church along the freeway, that big white church that has no name on it, along the freeway? We got to get a sign out there. But anyway, she said, oh, no. Nope. It's too big. Nobody would know that I'm there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study called What Christians Believe About Love. This is actually the final lesson in Pastor Jack's series called What Christians Believe. And we'll hear the conclusion as we wrap up this study on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. So please be sure to join us. Hey, by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a TV program called Journey with Jack Hibbs? That's the name of our half-hour television program, and you can watch it on hischannel.com. Go to hischannel.com and look up Journey with Jack Hibbs. Also, on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek service live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time on Wednesday. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is real easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.